Morning. Please have a seat. I'll take this opportunity to welcome us all to this time and place of worship. We are so glad to be able to join together on this beautiful first day of September. Oh my good heavens, where has the summer gone? So anyway, welcome, and we're so glad that you have come to join us together with us in worship this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, and there are a number of visitors who are here this morning for Ethan's baptism, welcome. We're so glad you joined us this morning for this time of celebration and worship. We ask and invite our guests, if you're here, to leave a record of your visit. We've got a guest book just outside the doors of the sanctuary here. Let us know you've been here by signing our guest book. During the offering time, we don't ask our guests to leave an offering, but if you would like to, there are envelopes in the pews that we invite you to use. And if you fill those out, we'd love to send you a letter saying thanks for worshiping with us and recognizing that you have been here. And if you think that Cole Harbour Woodside United Church might be the place where you would like to live out your spiritual journey at this particular point in time, please have some conversation with me, because I'd love to talk about all of the wonderful ministries that we have here at Cole Harbour Woodside and the wonderful people who worship here regularly. And so thanks for being here with us this morning. So this morning, as we gather, as we have begun to do, as people who seek to live into right relations with First Nations sisters and brothers, we begin our service with the acknowledgement of the place in which we gather. It's printed in your bulletin, and it's going to be on the screen there. I ask you to respond with the bold type. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy. And we acknowledge the Mi'kmaq people and their stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Cole Harbour Woodside United Church is a safe place for all people to worship, regardless of gender identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation. We are first and foremost a community that gathers in the name and in the light of Christ, and with this candle we remind ourselves of Christ's light in our lives, in the world, and the light in which we are called to follow each and every day. We light a second candle as a prayer for peace, and we recognize that there are so many places in our world where there is not peace, and we are followers of the great Prince of Peace, and so we as Christ's followers are called to work for the cause of peace, and this candle reminds us of that work that is ahead of us. And our third candle we light in honor of those who serve in our armed forces in many places around the world for the cause of peace. They go to places where we would dare not go for that cause, and we honor them and the work that they do. We honor those who are first responders, firefighters and EMTs, peace officers, those who staff our hospitals, nursing homes, those who care for us when we are in our times of greatest need. We honor them and their ministries and their service to the community. Let us join together in singing our opening song, We Praise You, O God. It's in the hardcover Voices United at 218. It's also going to be on the screen, verses 2 and 3. Thank you.
with you.
And also with
you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
Let us pray together. Holy One, ignite within us a fiery passion for your mission of love and justice in the world today. Warm us by the Spirit's dancing tongues of flame, that we may feel your kindling blaze within, urging us to do your greater good. May we be wholly present to experience a new birth, and awaken possibilities within us to share your love in the world. In this love and abundance, we come to celebrate your harvest, a harvest bearing the first fruits of the Spirit within us. May we truly see how to use these gifts as we listen for your truth in the gentle breeze of your Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together Spirit of Gentleness, 375, in the Hardcover Voices United.
Spirit, Spirit of mercies and serving from us.
Thank you. Hear now our first scripture reading this morning.
Étonnement. Et ne sachant que penser, ils se disaient les uns aux autres. Que veut dire ceci? Mais d'autres se moquaient et disaient, ils sont pleins de vin doux.
I don't think that's the
beginning. Alors Pierre, se présentant, comment les entendant?
I think it's part way through though. Rewind it. Try that one.
Le jour de la Pentecôte, ils étaient tous ensemble dans le même lieu. Tout à coup, il vint du ciel un bruit comme celui d'un vent impétueux, et il remplit toute la maison où ils étaient assis. Des langues, semblables à des langues de feu, les apparurent séparés les uns des autres et se posèrent sur chacun d'eux. Ils furent tous remplis du Saint-Esprit et se mirent à parler en d'autres langues, selon que l'Esprit leur donnait de s'exprimer. Or, il y avait un séjour à Jérusalem des Juifs, en pieux, et toutes les nations qui sont sous le ciel. Au bruit qui eut lieu, la multitude accourut et elle fut confondue parce que chacun les entendait parler dans sa propre langue. Ils étaient tous dans l'étonnement et la surprise. Ils se disaient les uns aux autres, « Voici, ces gens qui parlent ne sont-ils pas du Galiléen? Et comment les entendons-nous dans notre propre langue à chacun, dans notre langue maternelle? Comment les entendons-nous parler dans nos langues des merveilles de Dieu? » Ils étaient tous dans l'étonnement, et ne sachant que penser, ils se disaient les uns aux autres, « Que veut dire ceci? » Mais d'autres se moquaient et disaient, « Ils sont pleins de vin doux. » Alors Pierre, se présentant avec les onze, éleva la voix et le parla en ces termes, « Hommes juifs, et vous tous qui séjournez à Jérusalem, sachez ceci et prêtez l'oreille à mes paroles. Ces gens ne sont pas ivres, comme vous le supposez, car c'est la troisième heure du jour. » Mais c'est ici ce qui a été dit par le prophète Joël. Dans les derniers jours, dit Dieu, je reprendrai mon esprit sur tout chair. Vos fils et vos filles prophétiseront, vos jeunes gens auront des visions, et vos vieillards auront des songes. Oui, sur mes serviteurs et sur mes servantes, dans ces jours-là, je reprendrai de mon esprit, et ils prophétiseront.
And our second reading this morning is from Matthew 28. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen." May we in the Spirit, in the church, hear what the Spirit speaks to us through these words of our sacred scriptures. If the children who are here this morning would like to come forward, I've got some time together. We have some guests with us this morning. You're welcome to come on right up and sit on the mat here with us. Good morning. How are you? Good. You can have a seat right here. Yeah, good morning. There we go. How are you all this morning? Good, good. I wondered when you heard the recording that was played over the sound system, did you understand what was being said there? You did? Do you speak some French? You did. So you understood some of what was being said there. Did anybody else understand some of those words? No. How many in the congregation didn't understand too many of those words? I picked a word or two out here and there from my grade 12 French many, 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 many years ago. So that was kind of strange to hear the Bible read in a different language that maybe we don't understand, eh? Today I want to talk a little bit about why it's important for us to be able to share ideas and thoughts in ways that we can understand, right? Because sometimes, I bet, especially as younger people, we want to tell older people, grown-up, something, and you can't find the words that you want to tell the grown-up that you're talking to. Have you ever had that situation? No? You've always been able to find the words? Yeah? How about you? Can you always figure out what it is you want to tell the big person who's with you? Yeah? Yeah? Well, today we're going to baptize Ethan, and he can't use those words. So if he's hungry, how do you think he tells his mom and dad how he's feeling? How do babies tell people when they're hungry? What do? They cry. Yeah. Yeah. And if they need their diapers changed, then how do they tell the grown-ups around them? They cry. Okay. And if they want to get some sleep because they're really, really tired, what do? They cry. So how do you tell the difference between a cry that's a hungry cry and a cry that's a sleepy cry and a cry that's I need my diaper changed cry? Because I bet to most of us those all sound the same. But I also bet that as grown-ups, if we really listen to the little ones who are around us, sometimes we could figure out those things if we really listen. Now, my daughter, when she was a baby, she had a different cry for those sorts of things. But it took Tamara and I a long time to figure out which was her hungry cry and which was her tired cry. And sometimes I think there were she was hungry and tired and it was just the same cry. But it's really important that we listen not only with our ears but with our minds and with our hearts to what we hear other people saying. Because sometimes the words don't always come to us in the way that we hope. So today we're going to do a blessing of shawls and a blessing with water called baptism. And some of the words might be kind of strange to some people, but in all of the words what we're trying to share is that God's love is found in all of those things. And today in baptism and in our prayer shawl ministry, we're sharing God's love in different ways. And we hope that if we say them, if we talk about love in enough different ways, people will understand that what we're saying is good news for everybody. Okay? So let's have a little prayer together. I'll say a little bit and you can repeat after me. All right? We'll say, thank you, God, for words in our world, for cries of babies, and speech of older ones. Help us always to share your love in the things we say and do. Amen. So would you like to come over and help do the blessing of our shawls? So come on up. You can come right up here on the stage. Now we have people all throughout our congregation who take yarn and wool and they knit these shawls, and each one of them has a little tag to them that talks about who made them, and then there's a little prayer on the back that talks about, we hope that when you receive this shawl, you'll feel God's love wrapping you up the same way as the shawl goes around your shoulders. So they have been prayed through and blessed by the people who were making them, but we always think it's important that we bless them before we give them out to people. So I'm going to invite everybody to put a hand somewhere on any of the shawls, whichever one you would ever like to. Right? And we're going to bless these shawls. And I'll say a little bit, and you can repeat after me again. We'll do a repeat after me. So we'll say, thank you, God, for the talent of those who made these shawls. May their prayers and our blessing be felt by those who receive them. Amen. Thank you very much for sharing in this time. Now, if you would like to stay right up here on the stairs here while we have the baptism, you can do that, or you can go back to your seats where you would like to see. You want to stay up here? Good. I like company up here. All right, you can sit right here on the stairs and you'll get a good view of the baptism happening. So, all right, making sure I'm on the right page here. There we go. All right, so I'm going to invite Elizabeth and Sean and Ethan, of course, to come up, and those who are accompanying them here to the front. And, there she is, Megan Nicholson, the chair of our unified board, to do that. So you can just come right in here. Very good. Okay. You got your piece there. You're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth and Sean have come here today to present their child for baptism, and we rejoice. Baptism is the church's way of celebrating and naming the grace of God living in every one of God's children. It is the way we initiate new members into the life of the universal community of faith, and it marks the entry point into the lifetime pilgrimage of following in the way of Jesus.
Hear these words from the stories of our faith. People brought little children to Jesus for him to lay his hands on them and to say a prayer on them. And the disciples turned them away. And Jesus said, let the children alone, and do not stop them from coming to me, for it is to such as these that belongs the reign of God. And he laid his hands on them. Elizabeth and Sean, by what name is your child to be known? I'm going to come over here, do a little blessing. Yeah, sure, there we go. We'll do this. I'll come around this side. There we go. There we go. There we go. Little one, my hands are cold, I know, I'm sorry. Little one, born to love, surrounded by love, child of the universe, we now name you Ethan Sampson McDonald. Take your name and make it your own. Live in freedom and fullness as you travel the journey of your life. Elizabeth and Sean, what do you ask of God's church at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church for Ethan? And we are happy to say yes to that request. God is the heart of life, and we are the heartbeat. May our hearts be filled with thanks and praise and songs of joy. We rejoice in the miracle of life, and we claim the joy of water and the way it sustains and nourishes us. The biblical stories speak of the preciousness of water. They remind us that water is a blessing from the source and strength of life. And without it, creation cannot survive. God's love, like a shower of rain in a drought, awakens the sleeping seed within the soul and lures it to blossom. God's love, like waves crashing on the shore, breaks in on us and enfolds us, leaving us feeling vital and refreshed. We gather to pray, believing that God prays in us. We give thanks for the gift of this water. May it be the birthing waters of a new and holy life. Amen. All right. They're so cold this morning. How are you this morning? Hello, my buddy. Ethan, in the touch of this water, the ancient symbol of new life, I baptize you into the love and service and joy of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, source of life, companion, and enlivener. May the presence of the Spirit of love in you be nurtured and constantly affirmed by your family, your friends, and by your church community. May the sun and stars delight and touch your heart with fire, that you may find passion to be in creation. And may you know God's blessing. Amen. And I'm just going to take him a little around, and the choir is going to sing a blessing for us this morning. There we go. Say hi to the choir. Hi, choir. There we go. Yeah. There's the choir. Say hi. Yeah. All right. There we go. There we go. Good. Elizabeth and Sean, I now ask you to respond to God's graciousness to Ethan by making these promises. Will you provide for your child a welcoming home of love and trust? Will you help your child grow in their understanding of Jesus and appreciation of a broad religious faith? Will you encourage your child to reach out to others with love and compassion? Each of us knows the need for support and care as we share in a journey of faith. As this family gathers around this font and this water, symbols of belonging and community, let us pledge our care for them as we stand, as we are able. Say together, we stand as witnesses to the commitment this family have made this day. And we pledge ourselves to their support and care as they discover the ways that the Spirit unfolds for them. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of baptism. May Ethan always know that the source of all love lives and comes to unique expression in him. Bless these parents that they may always show their gratitude for the beautiful gift of life given to them. Bless the faithful people of this church community. May we all live in love and draw encouragement from the faith which connects our loving with the mystery we call God. Amen. And we have a... As we rejoice in God's goodness, let us sing together number 172 in the Coil Bound More Voices, God Says. Children who are here this morning, there is programming upstairs, so you can follow Carolyn up there if you would like to go. Thank you, Charles and choir. Beautiful. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. O God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts find their source in you, our rock and our strength. Amen. It was a little jarring to hear the words of Scripture shared in a language that most of us didn't understand. Yes? Yes. Not something you would want to have on a regular basis then. Probably not. And why not? Why not share the Scriptures in one of Canada's two official languages? Why not share the Scriptures in a language that is spoken by 14% of the population of Nova Scotia? Why not share the gospel in the words of one of the early settler communities in this province? Because we don't understand it for the most part. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each and every one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem at that time Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together, bewildered because each and every one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these people Galileans?" I mean, Hicks, right? "How is it each and every one of us hears them speaking in our language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some made fun of them. They've had a little too much wine. And Peter stood up with the 11 and he said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain one thing to you. Listen carefully. The taverns aren't even open yet. It's only 9 in the morning. We're not drunk as you say we are." "No," says Peter. "This is what the prophet Joel spoke. In the last days, God says, I will pour my Spirit out on all people. Your sons, they'll prophesy. And your daughters, they will see visions. And old men will have visions, and young men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they will prophesy." I want us to think about how important language is for us in the church today, in the church of tomorrow. I think most of us would agree that the next generation speaks a language that most of us don't understand. I sit and I listen to Jonathan and Anna talk and I haven't got a clue half the time what they're saying. I'm sure that were my mother here this morning, she would say, "We didn't understand a whole lot of what you guys were saying when you were teenagers either." Language and lexicon are always changing, ever evolving, and that's the way it's been for generations. The difference is, of course, is that like everything else in the world, it seems to be happening at an ever-increasing rate. Something as simple as making a phone call, something that all generations do, has changed dramatically. I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube or not. There's this really cute video of two teenagers trying to dial a rotary phone. 5 minutes and they still don't get it. Before we chuckle, however, though, how many of the older generation have struggled to try and make a phone call on a cell phone? Yeah, yeah. And in a workshop I was in several months ago, I learned that young people don't even make phone calls anymore. They text. In fact, what we figure is an imperative of communication to pick up the phone and call somebody is actually by many in the millennial generation seen as an intrusion. How dare you interrupt me while I might be doing something with a phone call? Text me instead. I'll get back to you when I get a chance. Things and the world around us are changing. And one would think that in the church we would learn to adapt and to change as well. But we don't. We see ourselves as the bastion of tradition too often. At Coffee and Tea with Me, the Rev, on Monday night, I was challenged to pull out of my back pocket, because last Sunday morning I claimed, if you came to Coffee and Tea with Me, the Rev, and you didn't bring a topic with you, I had something in my back pocket. And so they all came with nothing, and they said, we want you to talk about what it is you got in your back pocket. And so I said, okay. If you cast your minds back to the spring, when the sanctuary was filled with tables, the Sunday after breakfast with Jesus, I had pieces of paper on the tables. And I asked people to fill out a piece of paper and to write down things that they thought we should keep, things we thought we should get rid of, things we thought we should bring back. And one of the themes that came back consistently, not in a majority, but consistently, were the words to the Lord's Prayer. And people have said to me over the last few months, when are you going to talk about that? When are you going to talk about that? I'm going to talk about it now. You'll notice in your bulletins that the version of the Lord's Prayer that's printed is an ecumenical version. It's not the traditional King James version. And now I must remind us all that that's an invitation. You're not required to use those words. If people want to use the words that they are most familiar with, the King James Version, that's fine. I have heard in the congregation at least one person who speaks French say it in French. If you know Greek, you could speak it in Greek. If you know Romanian, speak it in Romanian. I thought that for some reason I had it in my head that that was printed in the 1960s, but it turns out that it was in 1975 that the English language liturgical consultation modernized the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, 1975. So these are texts that are widely adopted by English-speaking Christians around the world, with the exception of the Lord's Prayer. I don't know, maybe those other creeds were not as important. Maybe because they're not directly drawn from Scripture, although the Lord's Prayer is only partially drawn from Scripture, or Scripture only partially informs it. Most English-speaking countries have shifted, except for the Our Father. So we wondered, why might we need a more modern way of speaking about it in the church? Why might we need a more modern way of sharing the prayer that Jesus offered to his followers one way in Matthew and another different way slightly in Luke? Go look them up. You'll see that they're not quite the same. Why is it important that we at least think about the language with which we use to speak the Lord's Prayer? In my opinion, it's just my opinion, the medium is the message. The way in which something is communicated is more important than the message itself. That's what Marshall McLuhan observed. Words matter. Should have been at Berwick Camp this summer. Words matter. The message of Acts chapter 2 was the idea that God's Spirit could only be poured out on specific people and only in a specific language. And Acts chapter 2 demonstrates that with the death and the experience of the resurrection of Jesus, that rule goes out the window. It was no longer true that the good news should only be spoken in Aramaic, the language which Jesus and his followers would have spoken, a colloquial dialect of Hebrew, not even pure Hebrew, but street Hebrew. In the same way in which there are different English dialects spoken, so people will understand in a community, the movement of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was a movement in the church that pointed out and said, here is proof positive that the good news that Jesus brought was not only for a few, but for all. It's so important a message, the good news of Jesus is so important a message that it's going to be shared in a language that you understand. Your mother tongue, your father tongue. And that's the model by which we are called to follow, to speak the good news so that people will hear it in their own tongue. And that's a challenge for us in the church, the bastions of tradition. And Elizabeth and Sean, as you bring up Ethan and we bring up our children in the good news, it's important for us to find ways to communicate with them. To try and find, as Jesus did, new ways to share the message of God's love for all people. To share that with Ethan as we seek to share it with one another, as he's able to understand and as we seek to try and understand. The way in which the language in which we share the good news is the medium by which the message is shared. And if we claim Christianity's relevance in the world today, and I think we do, then it's incumbent upon us to do so in a language that is understood and relevant in the world today. As with the story from Acts, if people cannot understand the message of the gospel that we share, then they are not going to hear it. If they can't hear it spoken in their language, they will not understand. Elizabeth and Sean, as Ethan grows and experiences the world around him, you'll need to share this good news with him as his parent. And we pray that in spite of whatever messages he might hear as he grows up in the world around him, that he would know God's love and grace for him wherever he may journey in life. It'll be a struggle because he will learn things far more quickly than you can possibly keep up with. But when you live the promises you have made today and the medium of your message to him is love, then I believe that will overcome whatever negative he may encounter in life. And more good news is this, that you don't have to do it alone. You're surrounded by family who made the trek here this morning to be with you. And we, the people of Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, the people of God who gather here in this place, we've also made a promise to you and to Ethan. We've promised our support and our care for you. When you find joy and when you find struggle, we will be here. This we promise. Have we abandoned what was? No. The early disciples continued to speak Aramaic to those they encountered. And still the message of Jesus was shared from person to person in that Aramaic tongue. But it was also shared in Roman, in Greek, in Macedonian, in Parthian, in Mede, in Cretan, French, English, Mi'kmaq, and a host of other languages around our world, some ancient and some modern. Will our prayer of Jesus be spoken in many ways and by many hearts? Yes, yes it will. Will God hear our prayer in whatever manner we offer that prayer? Always. Thanks be to God. Amen. That last slide, Charles, is that what happens when you overwater the piano? Sorry. Are there announcements that need to be shared? Janet.
Good morning. The last Sunday of October, I think it's the 27th, we will be having our annual auction, time and talent auction. So dig around, see what you can find. I'm taking donations. Thanks very much. Oh, one other thing. I was told this morning that Ann Matthews and her tennis partner yesterday won the ladies' championship for provincials in doubles.
Congratulations. Way to go. Many of you might not know, Anne came back from a very serious hand injury a year and a half ago or so to be able to come that far and to come to the finals and win the finals in the provincials. That's excellent. Congratulations. Other announcements that need to be shared. Paul messaged me earlier on this morning, this week, and said that Hope Cottage will begin again on the 26th of September. The sign-up book is in the entryway there on the table, so if you would like to make donation for our Hope Cottage meal, please do that. Meatballs and rice, and the recipe for the meatballs is there as well. Jennifer is going to continue. Jennifer Muirhead is going to continue with the youth group this year. And so we are, yes, me too. So we're looking for some volunteers to help with leadership. And so we've got some names, but if someone you know or if you would like to work with Jennifer 2 Sundays a month, every second Sunday in each month, please see her following the service or send her a message. Just a reminder as well, there's a lot of announcements going up on our church's Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, please do check those out. And as I said last week, don't just like the things you find on the church's Facebook, if you would, also share them. We're getting an awful lot of likes on many of our posts, but not too many shares. So if we're wanting to let the community know what it is we're doing, we do that through your voices. So when you share something, you're telling the rest of the community some of the things that are happening in our church. The Instagram account is also a little bit more active. We're sharing between the two, and we're thinking that probably the Twitter account will also be as well. One of the things that happened a few years ago at the annual meeting of Maritime Conference is that people were actually encouraged to tweet while the meeting was going on. And when I was in the Valley, I had a Sunday where I invited people to tweet the sermon. So if you're on Twitter and you want to tweet the sermon on a Sunday morning, go right ahead. It would be fun. Anyway, so those are the things that I want to share. Sunday school registration will begin next week. And on September the 15th, we have the blessing of the backpack. So the Sunday school registration will happen both of those days. Next Sunday, we are back to our fall schedule. 9:30 chapel service will be happening, and 10:30 will be the time for regular service. So if you show up for the 10 o'clock service, you're early. So you're good that way. Steve. Thank you. Sorry, and you're looking for sign-uppers? Sheets out there, so if you can help out with coffee. Very good. Very good. Other announcements? Very good. All right. Our moment for mission and service. Cindy, thank you.
Pilgrimage to Columbia strengthens church voices. During a pilgrimage to Columbia for Justice and Peace organized by the World Council of Churches, WCC, in February 2018, Christians witnessed the need for peace and justice in the midst of the troubled peace process. For more than 60 years, civil war has afflicted Columbia. Since colonial times, the key issue has been land ownership. About 80% of land in Columbia is in the hands of just 14% of the population. In the past decade, governments and guerrilla fighters have worked toward resolution of the long-standing conflict. The WCC pilgrimage to Colombia included opportunities to speak with former fighters, people displaced by war, senior politicians, and those whose social identity, indigenous, Afro-Colombian, LGBTQ, Two-Spirit, make them especially vulnerable. The visits amplified the call for peace from Colombian churches, which all too often are drowned out by voices opposed to land reform or those who make a profit from war. The WCC is a mission and service partner. As a member of the WCC, the United Church of Canada is a part of the Council's focus on supporting justice and peace efforts through pilgrimage. These are not just physical pilgrimages. How could all of us participate in a spiritual or advocacy journey toward peace in places like the Korean Peninsula, Myanmar, the Middle East, and Congo? Through the WCC pilgrimage for justice and peace, all United Church people are invited to pray, study, reflect theologically and biblically, have courageous conversations, take action, and offer a pledge of commitment, and hold public liturgies for peace. Be part of the pilgrimage. Learn more at www.unitedchurch.ca. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you've not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Cindy. In that spirit, then, our gifts and offerings are now received. Let us pray together. Divine love, in this part of our world, we are gifted with much. Having much, we know we are called to give for others, give in body, in spirit, and in treasure. With these limited funds in our plates and through par, limitless things are done. May we ever strive beyond our limitations. Choose beyond our immediate means and live into each day the fullness of opportunity for others as well as ourselves. As ones born of light and walking into light, we pray. May it be so. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Let us pray together. Spirit of light and love and life fills our lives and our beings with your spirit. It moves among and between us. It dances in delight as children are come into the world with their wondrous personalities forming and growing, as their language develops, as their bodies grow and they explore the wonders of your world. And we who have grown watch them with wonder and awe. We watch them grow in you. Bring your spirit to us and to our lives. We watch them demonstrate your love time and time again. And they inspire us with hope. They remind us how to dance and sing for no particular reason at all. May we truly open our eyes and our minds and our hearts and our spirits when we encounter these amazing young people in our midst and in our world. May we recommit ourselves to care for the world that is ours and theirs together, that the future we build together would be one of love and hope, that there would be peace and harmony, that there would be justice and equity for our generations and the generations yet to come. Your people gathered here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church seek to continue to walk in faithfulness with you, to care and love for creation, to walk beside those who joy and who are hurting, those who are in need of hope and comfort, those who are coming into the world and those whose lives are coming to their conclusion. May we continue to, in your spirit, offer the care and comfort of Christ in all stages of life. We hold in our hearts those whose names are listed in our prayer list each Sunday, and those whose names are known to but a few and to you. May our love and your grace rest upon them. May our hands be outstretched to uphold them, and may our lives continue to intersect with them, that they might know we care. We seek a blessing, O God, on the lives in which we live, that we might continue to reach out as individuals and as a community of faith, that we might be upheld in those areas in which we are in need, and that we might be inspired for good and truth and love in the world. May these things come to fruition through your Spirit in us, in our community, and in our world. These things we ask in prayer this day as we conclude with the words that Jesus shared with his followers, as we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Amen. And our closing hymn this morning, 420 in Voices United, Go to the World. as we go into the world today, know that we have been in each other's company and in the presence of the holy in all that we have said and sung and done this morning. God's Spirit has infused and enlivened all that we do. We are called now to take that into the world, to share that life, that light, that hope with those we encounter, and that we too might receive a blessing as we go. Amen. I think this might be one of the last times we sing this as our round. It's been fun all summer long, so I'll get the choir to work with this section because we got a lot of visitors there. We don't know how well they're knowing this one. You guys have all been here all summer long, every single Sunday, I know. We're going to give it a try. Three times we sing it through.
Thank you.